Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you'll enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, 11 a.m., and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook, and you're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me at 989-305-2721 or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. Joel is a book in the minor prophets of our Old Testament. And these groups of prophets are called minor not because their message was minor nor their impact, but simply because their books are short. Their message, and Joel's is one of these, has eternal consequences, not just for their immediate audience, for the Jews, but also for all of humanity, for all time. And thus, if you have never read the minor prophets, including the prophet Joel, you're missing an important part of God's message for you. So let's rectify this, shall we? Let's fix this. Turn with me to the book of Joel, starting in chapter 1 and verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, give ear, all inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in your days or in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children to another generation. What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. And what the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, powerful and beyond number. Its teeth are lion's teeth, and it has the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vine and splintered my fig tree. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it down. Their branches are made white. Lament like a virgin wearing sackcloth for the bridegroom of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord. The fields are destroyed. The ground mourns because the grain is destroyed. The wine dries up. The oil languishes. Be ashamed, O tillers of the soil. Wail, O vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine dries up. The fig tree languishes. Pomegranate, palm, and apple, all the trees of the field are dried up, and gladness dries up from the children of man. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is near. And as destruction from the Almighty comes, is not the food cut off before our eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed shrivels under the clods. The storehouses are desolate. The granaries are torn down because the grain is dried up. How the beasts groan. The herds of cattle are perplexed because there's no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer. To you, O Lord, I call. For fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and flame has burned all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for you because the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. This is chapter 1. Locusts, drought, fire. Things certainly don't look good, do they? And this is in the land of milk and honey, no less, the land of Israel, the Jews. And Joel tells us that this plague, this drought, this fire, all of this, this plague of locusts is something that no one has ever heard of before. And it's something that future descendants will talk about for many, many years. And these locusts, they're pervasive. They've eaten everything. What one version of the locusts left behind, the next version consumed. And what the next version missed, the next one after that cleaned up. There is nothing left. There's no food to be had. Now, the interesting thing about this chapter is that Joel brings up the fact that the animals of the field groan. And of course they do, right? Because there's no food. There's no food for the beasts of the field. There's even the sowers of the seed, the tillers of the ground. There's a drought. There's no point in planting seed. Everything is dead or eaten. Locusts have eaten all the food. But if the animals have no food, who else has no food? And that's right, the people. The animals have no food. The people have no food. But there's not really a mention in this chapter about the people starving. They're starving, right? But that's not the issue, is it? That's kind of weird. Here we have the locusts eating everything. The beasts are starving. And the people, well, Joel's not going to talk about the people starving because there's something that's far more important than the people starving. Now, I don't want to be flippant about this, and I don't want to suggest or have you think that God doesn't care about if the people are starving or not, because he does care about such things. And in fact, we'll see in chapter 2 that God's going to rectify the situation. But I want us to understand that as Joel looks at his country and he sees that the locusts have eaten everything and there's drought and there's fire, there's something more important than the lack of food. And that's really interesting. Because as far as I can tell, when people are concerned about food, there is nothing more important than finding food. Do remember, though, that when there's a drought, when there's a famine, that the people, they can always, and I know it's difficult, I'm not saying this is easy, I don't want to be trite, they can always move to another country, another place. Remember how Israel in the past, they moved to Egypt during the 7 years of famine in the book of Genesis. The people can move, but their beasts cannot. They don't have that option. They have to be where their owners are. And so they look at the field and there's no food for them. And they're concerned, the beasts of the field. There's nowhere for them to go. There's no food for them to have. And so really, as you read this book of Joel, Joel is concerned, but he's not concerned about salvation. There's something far more significant that does impact Israel that's happened here with the locust plague and with the drought. And Joel brings it to the forefront. And what is this very significant issue? The grain offering and the drink offering are cut off. There's no wine. There's no oil. There's no grain. There's no fruit. And that means there's no offerings to God. Now, if you say, so what? Eating is more important than bringing offerings to God. The people, so they can't bring an offering to God. Big deal. God doesn't eat or drink anyway. Now, if that's your reaction, you really need to grow in your spiritual walk with God. Because not being able to bring an offering to God is very, very important for the people of Israel. Again, if they want food, if that's their only concern, they can always go to another country, such as Egypt, to find food. But to not have an offering, a drink offering, a grain offering, this is very, very important for their spiritual walk. See, the Old Testament worship included grain and drink offerings. Now, these are not sin offerings because, after all, there's no blood to be found in grain or drink offerings. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. These are not about sin. These are instead what are called fellowship offerings. And that's why this is so important, because a fellowship offering has to do with being in fellowship with God. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, meaning to share in or to have spiritual union with. Togetherness. And the language of our New Testament was actually written in Koinea Greek, meaning the common Greek language, the togetherness language of the Greeks. I say this so that we can understand the importance of fellowship. It would be as if saying, if our New Testament was written today, it was written in English so that we all together could read our New Testament in the same language together. And so this commonness, this sharedness, this togetherness, that that's the idea of being in fellowship. And so as the Jews would bring their fellowship offerings or their grain offerings or drink offerings, they would bring them to the tabernacle or to the temple of God, and they would say that they are in fellowship, or they are together with God. They're walking with God, and God is walking with them, that they and God are united in their one. And that God approved of all that they were doing, because after all, they're in fellowship with God. But see, here's the thing. Here in Joel points out to the Israelites, God's taken away their fellowship offerings. Don't miss this. Because before this, it didn't matter how badly or how well, but usually badly, the Jews behaved. They could always say that they were in fellowship with God. And the evidence would be, look, we brought grain, we brought drink offerings to God. Therefore, see, we are in fellowship with God. But see, the problem is this. God, he tells the Jews, I have taken these things away, which means God has removed the fellowship offering, which means the Jews, Israel, they do not have the option. They are not in fellowship with God. They can't lie. They can't cheat the system. They can't say they're in fellowship when in reality they're not, because they have no fellowship offering. They have no grain. They have no drink. They have no fellowship. The Jews can say that they're in fellowship all they want, but they can't provide any evidence for this because the grain is gone. The drink offering is gone. And in truth, as you look at those things, the opposite is in evidence. They're obviously not in fellowship because God has taken away from them their means of fellowship offerings with God. God is very clearly sending a message to Israel. You are not in fellowship with me. Now, Christians, this is just as important for us today. Now, we don't bring grain offerings and we don't bring drink offerings today, but today there are any number of people who claim to be in fellowship with God, and they are not. They say they're in fellowship, but they are not. Now, Scott, you are such an alarmist, Scott. How can you make such a charge? If anyone says they're Christian, of course they're a Christian. Over and over again, I hear people say such things. And then I ask them a question. I ask them, are you so certain? They say, well, of course I am. They say they're Christians. They go to worship. They offer prayers and all of that. And so I ask the question, what about this group or that group or the other group? And just pick the denomination, or as sometimes they're called, pick the cults. What about the Mormons? What about the Jehovah Witnesses, the ones that are considered cults by mainstream Christians? Are they in fellowship with God? And the answer is, oh, well, of course not. Those guys are cults and blah, blah. They call themselves Christians and they offer worship to God. Now, I'm not saying that they're in fellowship with God. What I'm saying is, just because someone says they are does not mean that they are. Joel has shown to us that just because the Jews said they were does not mean that they actually are. And so we have to ask that same question today concerning Christians, because Christians are busy saying we are in fellowship with God. Are we so certain about this? Turn with me to the epistle of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. Let's make sure, shall we? Let us go to the scriptures and let's see what God tells us about fellowship with him today. Because it's not about grain offerings and it's not about drink offerings. Instead, it's about something entirely different. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, the Apostle John, he lays it out for us, doesn't he? People in his day, not even just today, but even in his day, when the apostles walked the earth, John, as he wrote his letter, he tells us people in his day were saying that they were in fellowship with God, but they really weren't. They were claiming to be Christians, but they really weren't. And if that's the case in John's day, do you think it's possible that people today might say that they're Christians, but really aren't? So how do we know if we are or if we aren't? And I'm not so much concerned with pointing fingers at somebody else, but I'm really concerned about pointing fingers at myself, at ourselves. So let's check our hearts. Let's check our attitudes. Let's check how we live our lives and see if we ourselves are in fellowship with God. And John starts us off saying, if we say. That's a catchphrase that John uses throughout his epistle. And that's a catchphrase because people in his day were saying these things. We say this. We say that. And the people in John's day, they were saying that they were in fellowship with God. But the problem is that their life, and John uses the term walk, their life is not in the light. They were walking in darkness while saying that they're in fellowship with God, who is light. And so their life's in the darkness. And God's walking in the light. And they're saying, we have union. We have fellowship with God. And John says, it doesn't work that way, Scott. So how can we know light versus darkness? That's pretty important. And so as we read this paragraph from John, he tells us, first of all, darkness is not just not light, but darkness is also not truth. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Walking in darkness is lying and not practicing truth. The second part is this. Our walk, our life has to match how God walks, how he lives. Our God lives. And as he lives, he has a behavior that he exhibits to the world. And as scripture also tells us, God cannot lie. A part of who God is truth, and God is love, and so we need to love, and God is life, and so we need to love life. We need to have life as a part of who we are. And so we're familiar with the question as we walk, as we live our life. We're familiar with the question, what would Jesus do? And we should be asking, what would God do? Because if we claim to have fellowship with God, we know how we ought to be living. We ought to be living as God does, in the light, in truth, in life. For God is light, God is truth, God is life, God is love. And so we need to live this way. And so when someone says that they are in fellowship with God, what we need to do is not check their fellowship offerings. We don't check and see, do they go to worship? We don't check and see, do they partake of the Lord's Supper? We don't check and see if they say that they're loving. We don't check and see these things. We don't check to see their grain and their drink offering. No, John tells us that we need to check our walk, our life, how we live, to see if we are in line with how God lives. Now, as a part of this, and this is tough, this is the honesty where we Christians, we need to step up. Because We don't always walk in the light as we really should. Now false Christians will be the ones who lie, and they'll say, "Well, I walk perfectly. I never sin. I never do anything wrong." They never sin. Christians, on the other hand, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we understand. We know that sin is a part of the mistakes, the errors that we make, because that's when we forget to walk in the light. And we forget sometimes to live as God lives, as God would have us to live. And so when we sin, even as we're trying to walk in the light, we confess our sins. John tells us that we have to confess our sins. If we say we don't sin, we lie. And if we're lying, we're walking in darkness. We confess our sins. And as we try, as we seek to live as God would have us to live, and we confess our sins, John tells us the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin. And we have fellowship with God. And John here, he isn't talking about fellowship with each other. He's talking about with God. Now, there's other passages where we're supposed to have fellowship with one another. Those are other passages. Here, John and Joel, they're both concerned about talking with our fellowship with God. Mankind has been desiring to have that fellowship with God ever since Adam and Eve broke it and were cast out of the Garden of Eden. The Jews were privileged under the law of Moses to be able to have their fellowship with God. God told them, bring the grain offering, bring the drink offering, you'll have fellowship with me. And the Jews, they abused that privilege. They broke that privilege. They lived the way they wanted to live and were still bringing their fellowship offerings to God. And so God removed that privilege and said, in essence, you are not in fellowship with me. When we get to the New Testament, we find that there were people claiming to be Christians, claiming to likewise have fellowship with God. But they really weren't. And if that was the case in Joel's day, that the Jews were saying we're in fellowship with God, but they weren't. And if that's the case in John's day, where Christians were claiming to be in fellowship with God, but they weren't, well, you know, humanity, we today, we haven't learned the lesson. The same is true today. There will be people who claim to be Christians, but clearly aren't. How can you tell? Do they walk in the light? Do we walk as God would walk? So let me encourage you, Christians, today, have fellowship with God. God wants to have fellowship with us. Please do this. He wants to have fellowship with you. Have fellowship with him and have fellowship with other Christians as well, because that's part of the design that was given to us through Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God creates fellowship with us through Jesus, not because we say so, not because we want it, not because we are the ones in power and authority or desire such things, but instead because God is the one who wants to have fellowship with us through Jesus, and he wants us to have fellowship with one another, thus the one body of Christ. And so if you think that you have fellowship with God, and yet, as we read in John, as we read in Joel, and yet you are living in rebellion to God, you really don't have fellowship. You can say it all you want. You can go to worship all you want. You can offer up prayers. You can offer up sacrifices and all of the business of being a follower of God. You can do all of those things just as the Jews were doing and just as some of those Christians in John's day were doing. As you loudly shout it, and there are people like that, just because you say it doesn't make it true. John tells us those type of people, they are not walking in the truth. They're not walking in the light. And so we, as we look at ourselves, we need to be able to change our life. We need to look at ourselves and ask the question, am I walking with God? Am I living the way God would have me to live? And if we are, if we're so doing, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of his Son will continuously cleanse us of all sin. This is a great fellowship that God offers to us, that we can walk with him and he with us. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Let the redeemed
redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord.